He was born on the planet Krypton and was given the name Kal-El at birth. As a baby, his parents sent him to Earth in a small spaceship moments before Krypton was destroyed in a natural cataclysm. His ship landed in the American countryside near the fictional town of Smallville. He was found and adopted by farmers Jonathan and Martha Kent, who named him Clark Kent. Clark developed various superhuman abilities, such as incredible strength and impervious skin. His adoptive parents advised him to use his abilities for the benefit of humanity, and he decided to fight crime. Superman is the classic archetype of the superhero character. He wears an outlandish costume, he uses a code name, and he fights evil with the aid of extraordinary abilities. Thank you, Wikipedia, for that description. Now, what does Superman have to do with stepfamily living? Such a great question. Often in stepfamilies, it feels like we've been sent to another planet, transitioning into a new family while desperately missing those left behind. We encounter strange customs, languages, and norms. It can feel like we don't quite fit in. There are times I've longed for a colorful costume embedded with superhuman flying capabilities to, well, truthfully, fly away from the more difficult challenges in my blend. Attacks of kryptonite have immobilized me. Yet, I'm not the only one experiencing culture shock. The kids are too. That's the subject of today's rebroadcast. Just as it's important to take inventory of our superpowers from time to time, we revisit key episodes that illustrate the power of sowing seeds into your legacy so you can live your best stepfamily life right now. Join us as we take inventory of unique perspectives of what it's like to live life in a blend from the stepchild's perspective. Welcome again, Mia Hunter Willis, to Stepfamily Mission Possible. Mia shares, "Things that happen to you do not need to define you." She also shares insights on progress over perfection. Bill and I invite you to focus on that very thing as you blend beautifully together. Welcome to today's episode of Stepfamily Mission Possible, where we focus not just on legacy building, but on living your legacy right now in your stepfamily. Soon, we'll be releasing our superpowers quiz, where you'll have fun learning more about the superpowers that you bring to your family. Be sure to check our website, stepfamilymissionpossible.com, for the latest details. Need help as you develop your co-parenting superhero abilities? We invite you to enroll in our upcoming values workshops, where we focus on your superpowers and how they are the key to building your stepfamily legacy. Email us at hello@stepfamilypodcast.com for more details. I'm pleased to introduce my next guest, Mia Hunter Willis. Mia is a budding author and a member of Flourish Writers Academy. In fact, that's how we met. We're working on writing our stories together through year-long coaching in the Academy. Pivotal aspects of our stories relate to stepfamily living. Once Mia and I met, we knew we were destined to collaborate. Mia has a beautiful experiential perspective as a stepdaughter, so I invited her to share that wisdom of being a stepdaughter, looking back on what it was like growing up when her stepfamily dynamics shifted. So please join me in welcoming Mia to the Bluff today. One of the things that Mia is aware of that if you're in the audience, you may not be aware of is that before we start, we have this pre-start. So we have a pre-meeting get together and then we have, let's make sure all the microphones work and that the lighting is good and all of that. And how are we going to introduce ourselves? And so when I asked Mia, how would you like me to introduce you? I was blown away by her response. And so instead of me speaking over her the things that she shared with me, I'm going to invite her to tell us the story that she told me just moments ago. So Mia, I loved it. Please share with us.
So, normally when you go to a dinner party, people say, "What do you do?" instead of who are you? And for the longest time, I've always struggled with that. And Jen said, so how do you want me to introduce you? And I said, well, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a child of God, I'm a daughter, I'm all these different things. We all have all these different commas, but I was sharing with her that someone told me that when they die, if on their gravestone, if the only thing that says that she loved Jesus, then that would be enough. So here I am. I am just Mia. I am a wife to a wonderful man named George. We have four amazing children, and I am a former teacher, now stay-at-home mom. And yes, I love Jesus, and that's enough.
I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that. And that's why we're here. We're here to share the love of Jesus in the context of blended families. And we know that it's really easy to forget the love of Jesus when we're in the thick of the angst that we are experiencing in blended families. So Mia, you told me a little bit about growing up in your experience. You have a new perspective as an adult stepkid looking back on your experiences and your transitions. And so first I want to start with the story that you shared with me about your grandma and the role that she played in your life. Would you share with us?
Oh my goodness, it's too early to start crying in the interview, Jen. But to give everyone some perspective, I was blessed to have a relationship with all four of my biological grandparents. I lived about a mile or two away from my maternal grandparents, but I spent a considerable amount of time with my paternal grandparents in North Carolina. And my father decided that it was important for him, for me to have a relationship with his family. And so I was always sent down to spend time with them during the summer times, during the holidays. And as a result, I developed an incredible relationship with my grandma. Her name was Dorothy Marie, and I called her Grandma Dot. And she became the world to me. She was someone who I could confide in, who would give me that tough love, but then also bake a cookie to go with it. And so when my parents decided that their marriage was not going to work, she was very instrumental in being that soft place for me to land. Because when you're a child experiencing the divorce, there's so many different questions that you have that you might not want to ask your parents. Like, why is this happening? Or does this mean that you don't love me anymore? What is my life going to look like? And while, you know, a lot of parents do an amazing job of sitting their children down and explaining this process and what does it mean and that we still love you, my parents weren't as equipped as others to do that. And it was my grandmother who really stepped in and filled in the gap because, you know, now that I'm an adult, I can look back and see, wow, my parents were really hurting during that period. And sometimes we don't have the emotional capacity to help walk others through a difficult situation that we're also experiencing. So my grandmother definitely was that she was my plus one, that person who really kept me anchored in the Word of God. And then also reminding me, I am loved. I am lovable. The things that are happening to me do not define me.
That's so good. Thank you for sharing that about Grandma Dot. I love that. And what resonates with me is this plus one, that there is always someone out there who has something to give in a way that no one else can give it. So if you're a step parent, I want to say that someone is you, that you are in your stepkid's life because God put you there. And he has a calling for you. You have a stewardship responsibility to love on these children. And if you're out there, if you're my stepkid listening right now, I know, I'm hearing the message, and I didn't know it initially, which is why we're here on Blended on the Bluff, honestly, that because there's not enough people out there sharing this important message that step parenting is really complex for some very specific reasons. And I know that those are going to come out in our conversation. And this is why I'm so pleased to have you on this show, because you have this, you can speak to us in adult terms about kids' emotions, like what it was growing up and integrating into a new family and finding your way, questioning your identity, all of those things rolled up into one. Now, I know in our conversation, we talked about a bunch of different things. And one thing that I do remember is when you shared, when you actually, I don't know if I would, if you would say became a sister, but there was a manifestation of an event that spoke sisterhood over you, and you actually felt like you belonged in this new family when there was a picture involved, if I'm remembering this correctly. Would you share that story?
Sure. So for your listeners, I have two younger sisters that are a product of my father and my stepmother's marriage, and we are 14 and 15 years apart, respectively. So can you imagine being the only daughter for over a decade, being doted on by everyone and anyone? And then one Christmas being told that you're going to become a big sister. I was completely shocked. I was upset. I was angry. I thought I was going to get the keys to a car. And to add insult to injury, we found out that these two children were going to be girls. And so I thought that my father's affection was going to be poured all into these new children, and I was going to be left on the side of the road. And so I was a teenager when they were both born, and it was always kind of a delicate balance because I didn't live in the same house with my dad and my stepmother. I lived about a mile away, so I was able to see them as often as I wanted to. There was an open door policy, so I didn't have to be a weekend kid. I was allowed to come over after school on a Tuesday afternoon if I wanted to, by virtue of living geographically closer to them. But when Mackenzie and Kendall were born, I started to feel a little jealous and wondering, you know, how is this going to change my relationship with my dad, and how are people going to look at me? And, you know, what does this mean? Because everyone oohs and ahs over the toddler, but no one wants to pay attention to the fiery 17-year-old who is, you know, trying to get out of high school. But what I realized was that over the years, relationships had to be built and cultivated. And because I was so much older than them, I could not expect them to do the heavy lifting. It had to be me. It had to be my stepmother. It had to be my father coming in and giving us opportunities to interact with each other. And by the time my younger sisters got older, our parents were still in the picture, but we started to take ownership of that relationship. And for me, it started when Mackenzie went away to college. I started writing her letters, just like Grandma Dot wrote letters to me while I was in college. And so when Mackenzie decided that she was going to get married and she was happy and she was excited, she decided to include me in the ceremony. She honored me by asking me to be the officiant. And I was floored. There was crying, there were tears, but it was at her bridal shower that really sealed the deal that we were becoming friends in addition to becoming sisters. They decided they wanted to take a picture of the sisters. And for many years, I was like, oh, it's Mackenzie and Kendall because they have the same mom and dad. I'm just the older half sister. And someone said, no, no, Mia, get in the picture. You're one of the sisters too. And that just completely melted my heart. But it also let me know that the connection was there for them as well. That for several years, they had their own emotions, their own feelings about understanding what our relationship was supposed to be like, because they already had one as being full sisters living in the same household, growing up with that dynamic. But they revealed to me, they're like, oh, well, you're always our older big sister who is out in the world already, had a job, a husband, a career, doing all these great things. So now that we've reached this point, and I hope this is encouragement to stepmom, stepdad, stepfamilies, that your children desperately want to have relationships with each other. And so it is critical that the parents allow the children to find their way to each other and encourage them to have relationships with each other as sisters and brothers.
Mm-hmm. And I heard portions of that story before when we first talked, but to hear it again, it's so powerful. And it really speaks to our need to belong. I mean, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Yes. It's a low level need, this belonging, right? And so we cannot move up that pyramid, if you will, if we feel a sense of isolation or ostracization. That's a very challenging word to say. If we feel ostracized, it doesn't feel good. And so I know that there are many families out there who may not have this experience that you're describing, that the kids want to come together, you know, particularly Mia, in that the age discrepancy that you shared, that's a long time in between experiences and connection, because we know that connection, you need to be together in time, you need to spend time, you need to invest time in relationships in order to create connection. And so when you're transitioning out of the home and exploring college and going through the next life step, that connectivity with the much younger kids is more difficult to maintain. So
absolutely,
your story is definitely a story of hope. And I hope that that does inspire parents out there and stepkids too, that I think oftentimes we come to these family relationships with expectations. Well, it should be this. And you and I know the should be's aren't what is, right? It's definitely not what we think it should be. And so I think that the should be's and the expectations in relationships, they set us up for failure and loss, right? And this makes me think of what we were talking about earlier about these concentric circles and how there's ebb and flow. So I want to knit all of these concepts together to say that if you are an adult stepkid, or if you are a younger stepkid and you don't feel this desire to connect with other kids in your family, whatever half step, adopted, foster, whatever it is, I just want to say it's okay where you are right now.
Absolutely.
No.
And I think, you know, I think something else that people need to understand is that it takes time. It wasn't a process that took, you know, a weekend or a month, and we said, oh, Eureka, we love each other and kumbaya. It's definitely something that happens over time, and it has to be nurtured as well, because, you know, the first time that I decided that I really wanted to pursue a relationship with them, it wasn't easy. I think that living in the 21st century, having all this technology has definitely made connecting with people who are far away that you can't see a little bit easier. The fact that we have a couple of things in common outside of a shared parent helps as well. But it has been baby steps for, you know, over 25 years to get to this point. So like you mentioned, Jen, telling, you know, sending some encouragement out to your listeners. If your child, your bonus child, however you want to call them, they don't want to do it, don't force the experience. You know, there's a lot of things that have to come into play. I mean, I know for me personally, there was counseling. There was sitting down, having a lot of conversations with my father one-on-one, with both of my parents as individuals, trying to piece all these things together. And we're still working on it, because now that we're in a new season of life where all of us are adults, our brother and myself, we both have children. So navigating that season, now they're grandparents. What does that look like? How do we introduce other family members to them? It's, you know, we're a motley crew of people during the holidays. It's like, okay, so what's your last name? How are you related? And, you know, trying to figure out all these connections. But I think that's one of the beautiful things that God does for us, because if you look throughout the Bible, you know, family dynamics are, you know, there's no one monolithic, no one homogenous family structure. And I think that's something that is kind of beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jesus was a foster kid, right?
Yeah.
A step kid, I guess.
Oh,
step,
yeah.
You know, kind of. I mean, the step parent Joseph, right?
Exactly.
I guess you can see it. You can see it in a bunch of different ways. And so he definitely modeled blending beautifully together in a way that just occurred to me right now.
it's so perfect, because, you know, you see all throughout the scriptures where, you know, when Mary and the rest of her children came to see Jesus, you know, he had brothers and sisters. But how wonderful is it that God says that we are engrafted into his family as well? But you mentioned earlier about the concentric circles, and
yes,
to pivot in that direction, what I shared the last time we spoke was that, you know, you have your core. You have those people who tend to be your immediate relatives, your mom, your dad, your siblings, cousins, aunts, uncles, whomever. And then as you get older, you have these concentric circles. Your friends, colleagues, different people get thrown into the mix. And something that I've learned over time, and there's been a lot of studies about this, was that our degree of relation to each person is determined by what their placement near the core. So with blended families, sometimes we rush to put everyone into the core when we're just not ready yet. And for me personally, my half siblings, my stepmother, they weren't part of my major core for several years. They were a few circles back, if I'd be, you know, transparent. But over time, people move closer and closer and closer. Sometimes they move farther and farther away, just depending on your season of life, what's going on. But I think it's a beautiful thing, because it doesn't mean that they aren't still in your life. It just means that for certain points, you've decided to come a little bit closer to get what you need or what they need. And then sometimes they spread out to another circle for a different time. And I'm seeing that in friendships. I'm seeing that in ministry. And we cannot be so hung up on what it looks like to other people, because sometimes it might be a thing where you're part of my core right now, but I might be a couple of circles back for you in this season of life. We might switch positions. And I find that in my relationship with my siblings, that happens from time to time. And I think to ignore that is an occurrence, or to just condemn it, is a place that a lot of blended families find themselves. Like, well, why haven't you called your stepsister? Well, I don't have anything to talk to her about right now. Can I try back in about a couple of weeks? Or, you know, when was the last time you spoke to your stepfather? Well, I spoke to him at Christmas, and it was for 5 minutes, but we're comfortable with our relationship being where it is right there. So, you know, not condemning each other for what it looks like on the outside, when it really could be the most healthy way that you and your relatives can communicate and form a good relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. I have so many visuals going off in my head about the words that you described, from ripples in a lake, how they're all connected, but each one gets farther and farther from the center. And yet you can create a new ripple. And then I was thinking about, you know, those, my youngest is 16. So this is, I don't remember what it's called, but it's that stack of rings. So the bottom one, I think, is red. Mm-hmm. And then the rings get smaller as you stack them. So when you stack them properly, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So we can collapse together. Yeah. So you cannot take, I'm going to say, okay, so if you're a parent out there and you have this toy, please forgive me and work with me on these colors. I'm going to call the bottom biggest one red, and I'm going to call the smallest one yellow, right? And then we have blue and green and orange. I think those are it. Anyway, we have these rings that go around this post, and the red one is first. And so if that's your core, and you put that yellow one on next, that yellow one only goes down so far.
Yeah.
It cannot connect with that red one unless it changes color. Mm-hmm. And so when it changes color, it can get closer and closer to this core, right? And as that happens, it's happening because the yellow has decided, I want to try something new. Hmm. Or I've entered a new season of life, or I'm seeking forgiveness because there are some things that I have been convicted of, or I'm just tired of being yellow. I just want to try something different, you know, especially if you're a teenager, right? Because this is the whole exploratory age where you really are. Here's the thing that I want step parents to remember, that you have lots of not double, not even triple, but quadruple whammies going on. And what I mean by that is this, that remember when you were a teenager, who was the last person that you wanted to be like? The last person. Your parent, right? So if you're a girl, the last person you want to be like is like your mom. And if you're a guy, the last person you want to be like is your dad. So there's already this pulling away, not wanting to conform, because they're working to figure out, who am I? I mean, this is exactly what I experienced. And I know that this is not just a Jen Rogers moment. Like this happens to everybody. So the teenagers experience this. So when you're a step parent, especially when you come in and they're in that stage, oh my goodness. I mean, they are dealing with loyalty, confusion, role identity, lack of clarity, new rules, new people, new spells, new flavors, all of this stuff. And they're the yellow ring. And you, step parent, you're the red ring. And it doesn't matter how much their bio parent wants them to change color. What I heard you say is they must decide on their own to change color.
Absolutely. And you know, the exciting thing is that they're closer to adulthood. And so negotiating what it means to be a child, coming under a new set of rules, another authority figure. If we're honest, that's a lot to swallow. And then the hormones and, you know, all the other things that you mentioned earlier with identity, it's a lot to work through. And then on top of that, there is this new relationship that they cannot control. You know, they were raised in one household, and now there's this new household that they have to conform to. They have to adjust. And it's hard. It's confusing. It's, you know, it's a daily surrender to be honest, to say, okay, God, we're in this together. How do you want me to operate today? Which battles do I need to fight versus which ones do I just need to concede and say, you know what? This is a much bigger war that I'm not equipped to fight today. Let's pull back. Let's talk this out. Let's figure out what is the root. Because I noticed in myself as a teenager having a stepmother that a lot of my issues weren't really with my stepmother. It was with my parents and how they chose to, you know, negotiate this new relationship and move me through it. And so having a lot of patience on top of all these other things that are happening is I think the critical piece of being, you know, a step parent. And Jen, you know, I shared with you a little bit earlier that I had to go back and ask for forgiveness from my stepmother because I was awful to her. While I wasn't the rebellious teenager that was, you know, in trouble at school or anything like that, it was those microaggressions toward my stepmother that, God bless her heart, she kept silent. She recognized before I could recognize that it wasn't about her. It was about the entire situation. And in my teenage mind, I was trying to negotiate and figure out what's going on. Well, who's the easiest target? Your step parent. So it's definitely a process.
Yeah. And it is, I would say that forgiveness is required. And the way that we teach our kids forgiveness is to model it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting that you said that about modeling forgiveness. You know, oftentimes we give love in a way that we like to receive love. And I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with the five love languages. You know, it's become an entire, you know, industry in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But what I had to learn about myself was that I couldn't keep punishing my father, my biological father, for all those things that happened in the past because he wasn't equipped to give me what I felt I needed. And as the child, I needed to go back and say, okay, this is my dad's makeup. This is how God made him. This is how he best communicates. He is not going to come out and say, Mia, please forgive me for my part in this relationship that you feel like it completely turned your world upside down. His way of showing me love and asking for forgiveness was building a better relationship with me as an adult child, being the grandfather figure that my children need. That has been his way of saying, please forgive me for not being able to do what you felt I should have done all of those years ago. And so I think that is something that your listeners, I hope, will take to heart, is that forgiveness may not come in the package that you want it to come in, but it's there. It really is there.
Oh gosh, that is so hopeful, right? Everything that you have shared here from the perspective of being in that situation and now looking back on it is so helpful. And I know that it will give step parents encouragement that things will get better. And one of the things that I emphasize when I'm working with clients is that very thing, that right now your children, whether they're step or biological, are in this situation. But if we project 10 years down the road, where will they be? And I recently had this conversation with my stepson. He's 16. He's a sophomore in high school. So you know what comes next. It's the junior year. And what's the question that everybody asks a junior in high school? Where are you going to college?
Right.
Yeah. What are you going to do? What's your interest? We ask it in, I don't know how many different ways, but the question is the same. It's all about, what are you doing? And so my encouragement is different than that. And it really ties into what you spoke to earlier, that I'm wanting parents to ask, who do you want these children to become? Mm. So if they're 14 and fiery, which they're 14, the likelihood of them being fiery is pretty high on the scale.
Boys and girls. Because I think oftentimes our young ladies get that descriptor a lot more than our boys.
Right. It just looks different on them, right? It just, the behaviors are different, but the source of the behavior is the same, that transition point. And so if we're asking these fiery 14-year-olds, who do you want to become? So 10 years from now, that's 24. This little spit and spat or bullying on social media or breakup with a boy or girlfriend, whatever that is, whatever's going on, you're not going to have that at 24. You're going to be experiencing different things. And so if we can equip our children with strategies, tools, and opportunities to practice, how can I manage this situation so we can focus on who we want to become? Mm-hmm. I think our success rate is going to go through the roof because we're going to be focused 10 years down the road. We're not going to be focused on this. This kid is really like, I'm so done with this kid right now. I mean, what parent hasn't experienced that?
How often do I say that a day? Because I have a fiery 14-year-old, so that's why I'm saying that.
Congratulations. There's a lot of work to be done, right? And it's an awesome stewardship responsibility. So I wonder, could you share with us, whether you're a stepmom, a stepdad, or a bio mom, bio dad, if you're a parent, Mia, would you offer up some words of encouragement for parenting kiddos in general that are definitely, of course, based on God's scriptural principles?
So I think first and foremost, we have to remember that if you're saying that you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ, that means that you have made the decision that you can't do this life without him, that you are a sinner that is in need of grace. And so when you take your own salvation story and superimpose it upon your parenthood story, you need to learn how to operate in grace. I know sometimes it is hard, but that is the thing that keeps all this stuff together. Parenting is challenging no matter whether you are the biological parent, step parent, friend of the family, whomever you are in that child's life. It is a challenge. And so learning how to love your child right where they are, I think that is the first step. Because when you think about it, that's how God treats us. He loves us right where we are. He doesn't expect perfection. He wants to see progress. And if we stumble a little bit, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and whispers in our ears, saying, remember when you read about this or you meditated about this, prayed about this? Let me bring this back to memory. Let's try this again. Let's try this again. And you know, I've found that whenever I approach situations with my children from that vantage point, even though I might have, you know, I might get upset, there might be a couple of moments where I'm just like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you didn't get this. It brings me back to this whole piece about grace. If we are going to raise this next generation, then we have to recognize that this is their training ground. The home is the training ground, not the schools that we send them to, not the physical church building that we send them to. But God gave parents an awesome opportunity to steward our children right here in the household so that when they are sent to school, when they're sent to church, when they're sent to the basketball court, the dance, you know, studio, all these other places where they walk, that they are already equipped. My grandma died, and you'll probably hear a lot of other grandmas, aunties, whomever say this, home training. That's where I believe it came from. Good home training. And in my community, when someone acts out of line, we say, oh, they don't have good home training. What does that mean in my life now? That means that they were not given the foundation. They were not equipped at home by their parents or whomever, so that when they do leave the household, that they don't have anything to go back to. Because you can't expect your child or children to operate in a situation where they haven't been given the good tools. And the tools as believers that we're given the Bible, we're given the Holy Spirit, we're given the example and the person of Jesus Christ. And so that is the number one piece of advice I could give, is to operate in grace.
Gosh, that's so good. And I just want to let that settle, that grace settle. So good. Thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate that. Such a good word. I know earlier, Mia, you had mentioned being grafted. And it's funny, we've touched on this grafting a little bit a couple different times now. And I had actually printed out Romans 11 and I highlighted some things on there about being grafted in. And so I've been working, how do I insert this in step family life? So I'm going to read it. This one is from the ESV version. I'm going to read a couple sentences and then I'm going to restate it for blended families. So this is Romans 11, 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. So that's Romans 11, 17, and also 18. So if I put the step parenting spin on it, it might sound something like this. But if some of the children in your household are a result of a broken marriage, you, a little bit wild, a little bit crazy, recovering from the sin of a broken marriage, you were grafted in to be married to the person you are now, to share in the nourishing root of Jesus. So don't be arrogant toward those stepkids. If you are, remember, it's not you who put them in your family. God put them there.
Amen.
Now, that may not be theologically correct, but I think
the book of Jen.
Well, we are budding authors, right?
So we are. I mean, and our lives are supposed to be an epistle. So I mean, why not? I mean, our lives are a love letter to God. So
indeed, they are. They are. I'll tell you, when I think about that, I think about what you just said as far as this protective covering that is over us, that is Jesus, our belief in Jesus, that we study his word, that we listen to the Holy Spirit so we can apply it in our blended families. And I always have this sense of every podcast, I have a sense of conviction, every single one. And it's good. If sometimes hurts, but it's good. And the reason that it's good, it's because we don't know what we don't know. And there's a lot as a stepmom, I just simply did not know. And so if I could go back and do it over again, that classic, you know, if I could go back and have the wisdom I have now and apply it, I would do things differently. Mm-hmm. However, we don't get to go back. We get to go forward. And I've heard this expression from multiple sources that when you're driving the car, the windshield is much bigger. Mm-hmm. And gives you a much broader view than what that rear view mirror does. And yet in those shoulda, coulda, wouldas, we spend so much time in that rear view mirror that we're crashing our future. Yeah. And so I just want to encourage you, wherever you are in your parenting, that again, just like the stepkids earlier, this is where you are. The real question is, what are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. Now that you know, so if you were wondering, had you lost your mind? Did you just imagine how crazy complex it was to be in a blended family, whether you're the kid or the grown-up? No, you didn't. Actually, it's complex. It is, we all want to belong, and we're put in this environment where we don't feel like we belong. And we don't have traditions to draw from with one another that create that sense of belonging. And so this is why you're experiencing the hurt and the offense. And so today, this moment, it can be a new day. It can be a new beginning to decide that, based on what I've heard, I realize there's another way, that in order for our families to blend beautifully together, we need to reach out to mentors. We need to read books that relate to love languages, for example, that the way that I like to be loved is not the way that my stepkids like to be loved, for example. And even if we speak the same love language, there are degrees of differences based on maturity and based on just levels of closeness. And this is really emphasized very well in a book I recently read. I'm looking around my office for it right now. It was Gary Chapman and Ron Deal who wrote the book about the love languages and blended families. Mm. And they gave this illustration that it's like going from hot to, or from cold to hot, I guess, that there's the cold, the warm, and the hot, if you will. And so when it first starts out, when you speak a love language for someone who may have physical touch as a love language, you're not going to give them a big old bear hug right away.
Right.
Because you're not in relationship with them that way. But you might touch them on the sleeve and say, hey, it's nice to see you. And then it goes from there based on how you're investing in your relationship. So I just want to encourage parents out there that you can make a new decision today to begin to do things differently, regardless of how chaotic you think your future looks. A lot of the fear of the unknown won't come true. Mm. And so, you know, if we take the time to craft a plan, to actually write out a visionary plan for where we want our family to go and who we want to become as parents and who we want our children to grow into based on the unique gifts that God has given them, it really changes our focus from the here and now and the uncomfortableness that we're experiencing to focusing on where can we go and who are we becoming as a blended family.
It's interesting that you said that about, you know, the whole analogy between the windshield and the rearview mirror, because, you know, I've noticed that whenever there's tension in my life, relationship-wise, God has usually brought that person into my life to refine me. And through this whole blended family experience, there have been some themes in my life that continue to happen over and over and over again. And it's through my relationship with my stepmother that I really feel like God has been like, okay, so this part of your personality, this part of you, okay, this isn't going to work anymore. And the reason why, when your stepmother says X, Y, and Z, why it just grates your nerves, it's because it's something I'm trying to work out of you. So I love the fact that you mentioned, Jen, about thinking about what does this look like 10, 20 years from now, because those relationships with your blended family members could be God's way of saying, I am trying to perfect you through this relationship. That's why it's so uncomfortable. That's why sometimes it hurts. That it's not necessarily the enemy that is doing this, but sometimes God, you know, will test us and say, okay, you know, I want to test your character. So I'm going to bring this situation between you and your stepchildren. Let's see how you handle this. You say that you're patient, but let me see what happens when, you know, your stepdaughter comes over for the weekend and, you know, decides to create havoc or what have you. So I love the fact that you have encouraged your listeners to look at the long range versus just focusing on those smaller milestones.
Right, right. And in previous podcasts with other guests, we've had a lot of different examples of that. A most recent one would be this one: you buy a home and you take out a mortgage. Mm-hmm. So you are on the high anxiety side, the more you owe, right? Yeah. The less you owe, that anxiety goes down. And that happens over time. So we take out 30-year mortgages, right? Even if so, let's say you take out, oh my gosh, this is so good. So you take out a 15-year mortgage. So, okay, so it's not 30 years. If you take out a 15-year mortgage, great. But what about you people out there that take out those ARMs? You, like, you got 5 years and then a balloon. So that's like the transition. So you take out the ARM is when you first fall in love with your soulmate. Mm-hmm. And then the balloon comes when you unite and bring the families together. And then you got to figure out how you're going to refinance that. Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I guess all of that to say that we've said throughout our conversation together is it really is the long view that we are, if we truly are followers of Jesus, we know that each day is a new day to begin again. And that day is an opportunity for us to acquire more tools for our toolbox or to refine the ones that we have.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it is also to look at the tool that we've been using, mm-hmm. and begin to get curious about whether or not that's the right one.
That's good.
How many of you have put a nail in the wall with your high heel? I have done it because the hammer's so far away. Like, oh, let me just use this right here. And it works, right? And we do that and we don't think about any of the emotional fallout related to hitting that nail with our high heel, right?
Right, right.
Yet we know there's a better way. And so I just want to encourage parents out there to consider, are you using the right tool? And if you've been given a new one, you have permission to try it on just for a little while. And if you decide you don't like it, you can try a different one. You can pick out, you can select a new tool. There's a 30-day refund policy. You can take it back to the store.
Or if it's Amazon, longer than that. No.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, just definitely, I think being curious about, now, wait a minute, I really get torqued when this happens, or every single time I leave an experience with this person, I'm disappointed. Why is that? Mm-hmm. Because it's been really easy to say, well, they fill in the blank, did X, Y, or Z. But the real question is, what am I bringing to this encounter?
Right.
What expectations am I having for this situation? And when my expectations aren't met, is that really what's creating the disappointment?
Right. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Well, we're going to call that a wrap for part one. And we definitely will be back next time to listen to the rest of the story and the experiences that Mia shared with us. I really hope that you've enjoyed this part of the program. And as you reflect on what it's like to bring your family together, I think there are two concepts that we can keep in mind based on the experiences that Mia shared with us. So you heard her tell the story of being invited to join in the photo with her sisters. And that was a pivotal moment for her. But I want to let you know that it took a while to get there. So the two points are that we really do want to belong in the family that we're in. And yet, long is definitely a part of belong. So in order for us to belong, it does take a longer time than perhaps what we would like. But it is definitely possible to blend beautifully together.